Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtung Millwall.
When I was young and just a boy, I asked my mother, what will it be? Will it be us? No, will it be Spurs? Is what she said to me.
Right to midfield, it's Wallace, all down the middle. Got Elliot overlapping him. Can he find him?
Yes! Oh, Wallace! Halfway! Neil Gregory! Don't you know this? Neil Gregory! This match is signed to the nil! Halfway! Roy's the game of death! Oh, yeah! What a game! What a game! What entertainment! What drama!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome one and all around the globe listening to Achtung Millwall, the number one Millwall podcast. My name is, of course, Nick Hart. You join me on a cold, a grey, overcast, windy day at the Den, South Bermondsey, for the visit of Bolton Wanderers in this relegation six-pointer. Is it too early in the season to call that, dear listeners? I don't think it is. I think that, you know, the sense online is this bit of a must-win. I think I join the voices online in saying this is a game that the Lions really ought to be taking 3 points from. We sit in 21st in the table. On goal difference alone, Bolton sit in 23rd in the relegation spots just beneath us. So this is an important home game, an important must-win match for Millwall, dear listeners. Two changes to your starting lineup this afternoon. The return of Jordan Archer, which sounds like a 1960s trashy cowboy novel. The return of Jordan Archer from his exile. Ben Amos is on loan from Bolton Wanderers and can't play for against his own team under the terms of that loan deal. So Jordan Archer returns in goal this afternoon. Also good to see James Meredith back in his familiar left-back position. Your back line, therefore, is James Meredith, Hutchinson, Cooper and McLaughlin across the back line. Midfield, therefore, will be Sean Williams, Ryan Leonard. On the wings, the once forgotten now must pick Shane Ferguson on the left side. Jed Willis, who signed a new contract, of course, as you would have picked up online in the week. Jed Willis spoke very highly of the club and much he loves it here, so that's great to hear. Up front will be Tom Elliott today and Lee Gregory. Sitting on the bench for us this afternoon, dear listeners, will be David Martin in goal. Goalkeeper, not in goal. He's sitting on the bench. Marlon Romeo, Ryan Tunnicliffe, Jim Carrican, another forgotten man. It rhymes with Carrican. Forgotten man Carrican. Aidan O'Brien, international Aidan. Murray Wallace and Jiri Skalak, also an international from midweek. Question I posed to the boys on the radio show last night. It's probably the same question that you chew over constantly over your dinner table, your breakfast coffee, your mid-morning cup of tea, whatever it is you do, is when are Millwall going to stop conceding slack, silly, late goals like we did, what we did at Norwich last 2 weeks ago, isn't it? Been a while since I've been to the Den, dear listeners, so forgive me if I sound a little rusty. It must have been over a month since I was last down here for one reason or another, but certainly that game at Norwich was a gutty result. I walked away from Carrow Road feeling really pissed off with the whole situation. But new game, new start, new boots, new panties. Here we go. The Lions will be attacking the away end of the first half, as is right and proper under English legislation, including the Millwall Act of 1873. Bolton wearing their familiar white shirts and dark blue shorts. The Lions in the traditional Dockers style dark blue shirts and white shorts. Off we go. Long ball forwards early on from Bolton. That's going to run all the way through to Jordan Archer in a kind of a lurid lime green outfit, kind of high vis day glow. Jordan maybe is a fan of X-ray specs. The day the world turned day glow. A little bit of farting about in penalty area inside the first 20 seconds. I don't like that. Lions will release with a long diagonal ball. Tell me if you've heard that song before. Finds Tom Elliott, little flick header on. They finds Lee Gregory. Right out wide right to Jed Wallace. That ball's into the box, bouncing around. Will Jed make it? He retrieves it inside the penalty area. Back to McLaughlin, who floats it in towards Elliott. That's going to be cleared in the end by Bolton. A little bit of earlier pressure inside the first 45 seconds, dear listeners. But this does allow Bolton to break straight down the other end. They've got man wide right. A little bit of pressure now from on the shot well wide. For one moment, as he unleashed it, looked like it was well on target. In the event, it was well wide. 1 minute. That was an eventful minute. Tom Elliott up front spoke in the week to the official side. This is one of their internet memes. Picture of Tom Elliott alongside a quote: "The gaffer has given me a chance this season, and to be fair to the boys, they've helped me on and off the pitch to enjoy myself and enjoy my football. It's credit to the manager and the team for helping me and giving me that chance," says Tom Elliott. It'd be nice to see him really get some goals. I mean, I thought he did okay at Norwich. He'll never be the Lions' answer to Thierry Henry, but he's a willing, honest player, and I like Tom Elliott, but it'd be nice to see him get amongst the goals. Use his physique. This is Lee Gregory now on 2 minutes on the right side. Ball into the box, trying to find Elliott. That's going to go for a goal kick. I thought it was a corner, but it's given as a goal kick. Early crossing from in the right. Lions clearly looking to use Tom Elliott in that physical role that we yearn for. We yearn for Tom in a physical way, dear listeners. Incidentally, and off at a total tangent, I'm just thinking of Tom Elliott in a physical way, I suppose, but it's reminded me of Mrs. H and I watched a film about the originator of the Wonder Woman series last night, a guy called Charles Moulton, quite a psychiatric inventor genius in his way, also producer and writer of Wonder Woman. Long ball forwards there. The ball head tennis in a Bolton area. This is going to be cleared by them. They'll draw a free kick. Challenged by Ryan Leonard on the defender. Yeah, so Charles Moulton, strange personal life. I'm trying to think the most polite way I can put it. He had a menage a trois with one student. One was his wife, I think, as far as I could make out from the that I was flicking into it and out of the programme. It was all done in a very tasteful way, but they were into kind of bondage and masochism, menage a trois, and he built that into the early Wonder Woman series. If you ever read any of the 1940s or early Wonder Woman, she's always been tied up, and apparently it derived from his love of bondage. Anyway, I think I probably strayed far from my Millwall brief 3 minutes into the game. Brave header in there by James Meredith. Lions recover possession. It's a long ball forward. Elliott can't control there, as you could detect by that scathing response from the West Upper. 4 minutes. No, it's just better from Tom Elliott. Good work there. They'll draw applause for that. Rightly so. Shielded the ball very strongly, held the ball and laid it off to Williams. Nicely done there by Tom Elliott. This coming towards the fifth minute of the game. This is Jed, who switched sides. Now back to Ferguson. A floating cross. It's long towards McLaughlin, who pushed his man. Little pause like that to wait and see who that was. From a distance, so my eyesight maybe is fading on me. Maybe I've been indulging a bit too much of Charles Moulton's Wonder Woman comics. I don't know, but I found it quite hard to tell whether that was McLaughlin or Griggs. Laugh at me if you will, laugh if you must, dear listeners. It will come to you one day too. Break forwards now. Down it goes, flying forwards, looking for a penalty there. I thought for one moment he was going to get it. 5 minutes. It will surge down the left hand side. Slightest of contacts, he's gone flying forwards. I think he's probably made too much of it for the referee's taste, but that was a moment that made your heart stop, and there's a free kick awarded there pulling on the mill as they try to break back. This is a team managed by Phil Parkinson, who these teams always seem to have a physicality that tries to match the Millwall way. So I think we're going to be in for a full-blooded 90 minutes this afternoon, dear listeners. Mark Beavers in there. He plays for Bolton, of course. He's a familiar sight down here. Number 5, I believe that's Beavers. Try and do a podcast when you can't tell which player's which. You... Oh, well. Bolton breaking forwards again. He overruns it. There's a beautiful save from Jordan Archer. It falls to the 10 from distance. Fantastic save, Jordan Archer, from close. Wow, oh, wow. Reflex save. The bend is on its feet. That was a ball through. The ball worked away. Forward striker free in the 6-yard box. First save was very good. Second save was world class. Jordan Archer, the return. Oh, that was a fantastic save. And that's got the bend buzzing, but it's a corner on the left-hand side. Wow! Wow, wow, wow. I want to see that again. As it is, we have a corner on the left-hand side. The Lions are being caught on the break, rather, by Bolton. That's a worrying sign. They've got a corner here on 7.5 minutes after that exam. That's a near-post ball that's headed up and away. Still head tennis inside the Lions area now, and hopefully we'll bring away we do-ish. Yes, Lee Gregory on the halfway line. Now it's the Lions standard, it's end-to-end stuff, dear listeners. Wallace is dispossessed, unfortunately, goes back to the goalkeeper. Fantastic, two saves in succession there by Jordan Archer. He's staking his claim for his place back, I think. Well done him, well done him. It's a chill wind swilling around, swirling has a different connotation. Maybe it should swill, maybe the wind does swill around the den. It's a cold one this afternoon, winter is coming. All over the top from Leonard, trying to find Lee Gregory, and does find Lee Gregory on the right. He's got a little bit of attention from the white shirts. This is Jed on the right side of the penalty area. He's making a nice run. There's a ball into the middle, put behind with some authority by the 4. Going to be a right-sided middle corner. 9.5 minutes. Jed's looking a lot more attack-minded, liberated. Probably liberated is the word I'm searching. Look. He's tried to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders at times this rather unsatisfactory season, but so far inside the first 10 minutes he's looked like he's had that weight lifted off his shoulders. Here's the right sided corner from Sean Williams. It's deep towards Jake Cooper, taken by the goalkeeper. It's going to be a Bolton free kick, the 10 clip by Ferguson on the right side of the middle half. It's going to be a chance for them to loft the ball in. They give the impression in these early stages at least of being a team that have come here to try and score. Floated in, that's 1-0. Sorry, pulls as it kind of came off the right side post, ball into the mix, headed home from close, in off the far post it seemed to me in real time, hence the pulls. That's 1-0 to Bolton. Let's watch it again. Floated in from the 10, over the heads of everyone. Yeah, off the post. Beavers scored. Typical. Defensive error, I'm afraid, dear listeners. Lions defence beaten to the punch somewhat by that cross. What's a fucking depressing start to the game in these times of Theresa's no deal, deal, Brexit, whatever you want to call it. No deal Brexit or Remain. You come in to get cheered up and instead you on 12 minutes you get that softly conceded goal. Sad to say. Little 1-2, this is Ferguson who works space. His cross was cut for a left-sided corner, dear listeners. That's better for Millwall. Then it comes from Sean Williams. It's deep. It finds Hutchinson. Ball bouncing around there off of Cooper. It's hoofed clear in the event by the white-shirted defence. Lions recover. Jed Wallace feeds Ferguson. No, he's just overrun it. He does retain possession. Jed said where he wanted it and got it on the right side now. This is Jed floats the ball into the middle. Punched away at the last by the goalkeeper. Nicely challenged by Meredith. Lions looking a lot better going forwards. That's going to be a middle throw-in, surely. It is. 14 minutes. Lions pressing forwards still. It's going to be a Ryan Leonard throw-in, the long version. In it comes. It's towards the... it's not long enough, unfortunately. And Bolton hoof it clear. Who'd be a goalkeeper? All that beautiful work by Jordan Archer, undone by sloppy defensive work just a few minutes later. There it is. Bolton trying to press us quite high up the pitch and Mill keeping possession quite well actually. it's early in the season for six-pointers to be taken seriously, but there is a sense of that. I think we don't want to find ourselves locked into the bottom four if we can help it, but losing today won't help our cause on that front. And as someone put it online, if we don't win today, we are in it, in the mire, in the brown stuff, the feces, the guano. You get my drift. Bolton pressing falls down our left on 17, come towards 18 minutes. They've gone past two defenders and win the corner on the left side. They clearly come here with attack as their best form of defence. They're equally wanting a win out of today's proceedings. Also in the mire, the feces, the guano, blah, blah, blah. So this is going to be a left-sided corner. A chance for them to put the ball into the mix. If we go two behind, then we really are up against it, dear listeners. State the bleeding obvious. It's my podcast. I can state the bleeding obvious if I want to. It's my show. It's not I am your Dorothy Squires booking the London Palladium. Then it comes. It's near post. That's headed up, not away, but up in the air. And then hoof clear by Jed Wallace. Here comes Bolton down the left-hand side. And now I've got Dorothy Squires. My old nan had the album when she booked the London Palladium herself in the alcoholic aftermath of her breakup with Roger Moore. And she produced an album which was all full of drunken, sad songs. My nan loved all that. Poor old Dorothy. Bolton on the left. There's the 11. Attacking Conor McLaughlin. He's been run into the corner. They do keep possession quite nicely. On 19 minutes, there's another cross into the box. That's flicked away. Mill on the break. There was a moment there where I thought it was going to fall into the path of the oncoming Bolton attacker, but as it is, Lee Gregory draws a free kick in the centre circle. Referee furiously, frantically blowing his whistle to stop play. Another moment of hesitation in that Mill defence. That's the thing that's showing this season that wasn't there last season. Why? I don't know. Clearly something that's crept into our squad that's everyone's losing faith with everyone else. A bit like, you know, the Brexit debate itself. A bit of politics there for you, dear listeners. Yellow card for the Bolton, whatever he was, midfielder, I think. For that challenge. Normal service has resumed, says Michael Avery. Bolton having not scored for four games previously, they scored today. One thing you can always bet is that Mill will break sequences like they haven't scored for however many games and they haven't won in X number. Ball floated forward by Sean Williams towards Tom Elliott. That's going to go for a right-sided corner. Comes towards the 21st minute of the game, halfway through the half. Rather an unsatisfactory half in some sense. We've had a lot on the ball. We've had a lot of pressure coming forwards, but Bolton have looked dangerous on the attack, which makes you wonder how they can retain statistics like haven't scored in X number of games, but there we are. Into the near post, bouncing around and away. Bolton hoof clear. The referee's coming over to the side. Don't quite know what's happening here. Remarkably, is he injured? The players are all leaving the pitch, coming to the side. Has the referee pulled up? Don't quite know what's going on at the moment. There's a pause in play on 23 minutes. Famously, back in the early 70s, Jimmy Hill, the football pundit of old, had to come down and take the place of a linesman who pulled up. And these days of fourth officials, they should have this in hand. I don't quite know what the pause, if that is the referee that's going out of the game. Crowd getting restless. We've been paused for a few minutes now. I'm presuming the referee can't continue. I don't really know what's going on, in all honesty. Neither does anyone else, which doesn't help the general sense of anomie. That's a good word. Where'd that come from? Anomie. To look it up later. I hope I'm using it correctly. I think I might not be, but anyway. So we do have a new ref. Looks remarkably like Jem Carrican. Wouldn't it be a hoot? Wouldn't it be a stroke if we managed to palm off Jem Carrican as a referee? Service looks like it's being resumed. Enemy, lack of the usual social ethical standards of an individual or group. Probably, I don't know, I'm sure if I used it correctly or not there in the context of that sentence, but anyway, we shan't dwell on that. Back underway at last, 27 minutes showing. There'll be some time added on for the break in proceedings there. It's slightly pushed around at the moment by Bolton. They're coming forwards again on the right-hand side, dear listeners. Here's the four on the edge of the penalty area. in the end, their pass is wayward and Lee Gregory dispossesses them, so that'll relieve that pressure. 28 minutes. Beavers beating Elliott to the punch there on that long ball forwards. It does break, however. This is Shane Ferguson coming down the left as we tick towards 29 minutes. He finds Elliott in the box. His touch let him down. His touch let him down. Williams from distance, shot wide left. Hits the stanchion. Who haven't quite set the den ablaze with fire and fury so far, to coin a phrase. The game is flat as a pancake, says Michael Avery on my WhatsApp group. He's right there. There's nothing to get the Lions fans excited as we tick past 32 and a half minutes. We've pretty much been taking, the incisiveness has come from Bolton. We have had a lot of the ball, but with no end products, and that's given our defensive woes this season. If we don't have any end product, then we really are up the creek. Sans paddle. Another injury break, and bizarre as it might sound, the old referee's come back out again. Has he been off for a pony or something? What's going on here? No, he's putting his coat on. He's not cut. I thought he was making a comeback. Maybe nipped off for a trip to the backdoor trots, as my old nan used to call them. But I think he's put his coat on. He's calling the day quits. Another pause whilst I think it's Tom Elliott who's down at the moment. It's been a bitty game, a dissatisfying game, dear listeners. I wish I could report different, but I can't. I have to tell it as like I is. Elliott leaving the game. He must have taken a classer there, dear listeners. Aidan O'Brien coming into the game. That's going to be Aidan O'Brien and Lee Gregory up front. It's a youth takeover day, dear listeners, hence the junior announcer. Well done, the junior announcer. He's done quite well today for me. Maybe we'll keep it on the floor a little bit. That would deceive Bolton. They've been planning for the long ball for down the middle towards Tom Elliott, and they've got it so far. But hopefully, with Aidan into the game, we may start and try and keep it on the deck a little bit. But that's both wide right into touch, as per the form book. 37 minutes, dear listeners. Only at Mill was a bloke to my right wearing a pair of shorts, dear listeners. Believe you me, wherever you are, from Alice Springs to Changi, Singapore, Hawaii, the Bahamas, it's not a day for shorts. But down the den there is. 41 minutes of pretty tough, thin gruel. This reminds me of the gruel served up to Oliver Twist in the workhouse. It's that kind of thin gruel. The Lions, of course, were not one of the big 15 clubs who are threatening a breakaway from the Football League. Reported in the press. The press, that's an old-fashioned expression. The press sounds like, the gentleman from the press. So we weren't one of the big 15. I don't think we're invited to the party. Big 15 clubs want more TV money and are threatening to set up a Super League 2. A Premier League 2. But we're not part of that party, I don't think. I wonder why. Mr. Aaron Paul of Love Sport Radio is asking me on Twitter, weren't I a referee once? I don't know where I've got that impression from. I've never been a referee in my life. I get shouted at professionally in the world of housing. Nice little flick through by Lee Gregory on the right-hand side. Ball into the box. Ball to Ryan Leonard. Great save. O'Brien's in the house. Headed off the line. Wow. Ping pong inside the 6-yard box. The Bolton players are congratulating Beavers like he's scored a goal. That was a goal saving header there. Beautiful play by the Lions. It's going to be a corner on the left hand side. Very, very unlucky not to score there, dear listeners. I'll have to see that again to give you the full Monty as to what happened. Must be the last few seconds of the first half. Ticking down. Another bloke with shorts on just walking past me, a hipster type, one of those kind of French revolutionary hats they wear. But a pair of shorts. Tough hipsters here. This is a break. This is Aidan O'Brien on the break. Can he find any space? He can't. There's the half-time whistle. Late tackle. Took away that break. Very dissatisfying half in some ways. We looked better when Aidan O'Brien came into the game. Late towards the latter part of the first half. Otherwise, Mill have not played at their best. Another sloppy goal to concede to go one behind, and we kind of teeter on the edge of giving away the second. So, very dissatisfying half of football. Mill 0, Bolton 1 at the break.
Achtung!
halftime tweets. JJ of CBL says that was an odd half, largely shite. I think that captures it in one sentence. Possibly no need for any more anything else other than that. JJ, odd half, largely shite. I'll make you right, mate. The MSC Mill Supporters Club says half time. Mill nil, Bolton one. A real lackluster first half from the Lions, and a sloppy goal to concede just after a moment of brilliance from Archer. Apart from the last couple of minutes, Mill have been clearly second best to a bang average Trotters side, says the MSC. The 1885 podcast says half time nil one. Beavers with the goal. Mill crowd booing in parts after a shocking half of football. Should have levelled from that chance in injury time, the late chance. However, surely second half can't be any worse, asks 1885. I don't see why not. There's no reason why it can't be any worse. A bit like people who bet on the, you know, on the red on a black on the Las Vegas tables, on the principle that it's been black for 20 times and therefore it must be red next. There's no linkage, dear listeners. Superstition only.
2 Southampton 1. Man United 0 Palace 2. Westham 0.
Kids doing well.
West Ham 0 Man City 3. Championship. Hull 0 Nottingham Forest 0.
Good stuff. I like this.
Preston North End 2, Blackburn 0. Sheffield Wednesday 1, Derby 2. Stoke 1, QPR 1. Swansea 1, Swansea 3. Wigan 0, Reading 0. And.
Go on. Go on. So that was it. Okay. And finally, a message from Doug out there in Sweden, watching via the miracle that is I follow, says fucking awful. No work rate, no teamwork, big hole in the centre of defence, three times, lucky it's only one goal. Worst performance so far this season, says Doug Hume in Sweden.
Achtung, Milbein.
Teams are back out for the second half, dear listeners. Just reading about the harsh words that Ryan Leonard reports at the Calmont Road training ground. Not panic stations, he says, but there's been harsh words, exchanges of views, clearances of the air, blah, 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 at the Bromley Calmont Road Downham training ground. Let's hope that there's been more harsh words in the dressing room and something happens in the second half, because as it is, we're staring down a barrel of a 1-0, possibly more if the way we defended at times in that first half. Well, there we go. Lions attacking the Colplow Lane end in the second half in accordance with English legislation. Here come the Lions. This is Lee Gregory on the break here. It falls to Sean Williams, edge of the D. His ball was a little bit slack towards Jed Wallace, as I said earlier on. Not Williams' best game today. And Bolton win a free kick. It was a little moment where we were looking to fiddle the ball through the middle, but it all went wrong. This led a dispossessed. There's the chance of Bolton to break. Almost found the eight on the right side of the Mill penalty. They do keep possession. This is the 14, I think, down the right side. That's a chance. Great save by Archer, and hoof clear by McLaughlin in front of the oncoming forward following up there. Good save again by Jordan Archer. He's done well in this game. There was nothing he could have done about the goals. Those two world-class saves in the first half. That was a very good save there. 49, 50 minutes looms. Crowd doing its bit to try and get the Lions fired up. This is Meredith breaking down the left. It falls to Aidan O'Brien. There's a penalty. He goes tumbling. No decision there. Crowd have been brought into play, a little bit of movement, a little bit of action, it's all it needs, but we do need something to feed from, and the Lions have given us precious little in this half, in this game, let alone the half. Lions keeping possession, searching for a way through this massed white-shirted defence in front of us. We're keeping the ball quite well, but for a long period we've just been spraying it back and forth on the halfway line, which is very un-Millwall-like. This is on the left side. I think Bolton will get a chance to clear and do. Story in a week of one of our promising young 14 years old, Darko Giabi, signed by Manchester City. Imagine that, 14 years old, signed by Manchester City for £1 million, apparently. how football works is beyond me, that 14-year-olds can be traded in this way, but there we are. An exceptional young talent, said Neil Harris. Darko Giabi, now a Manchester City player, lost to Millwall. Modern football, welcome to modern football. Manchester City, of course, funded by the state oil wealth of, was it Dubai, UAE, I can't remember which one it is. And all sorts of jiggery-pokery, fiddle, bit of fiddle in the Manchester City finances, which no one in authority will give one tinker's cuss about, because money talks, dear listeners. Don't go expecting justice in this world. 56 minutes. Looks like Marlon's coming into the game. I don't know if that's going to be McLaughlin who comes out.
Set this up in June.
Pace coming forwards, one would hope so, wouldn't one? New tactics, passing the ball. Reinus Michels of Ajax would love it, but will the Den Konya Sentai love it? Don't know. There was a debate online about whether the fans love football, winning football, if it's the kind of winning football you don't like, is that a bad thing, or is there such a thing as a bad way to win? I don't know. I think I always take the win over the style, personally. What about you, dear listener? What do you think? Is the way you win important, or is it winning alone that counts? If you win ugly, does it feel better or worse than winning with style? Bit of a philosophical debate for you there. Aidan O'Brien runs across the goal. It's a shot. Falls. This is Gregory. Couldn't quite get on the rebound there. Runs through to the goalkeeper with no great harm in the end. The shot on goal blocked. Fell to Gregory, but couldn't get any power behind the shot. 62, 63 minutes. 64 minutes. Marlon now trying to find some space. Breaks to Ryan Leonard. He feeds Shane Ferguson on the right sidelines. Are picking the passes. They're trying to be patient. Ferguson gets it in across the box. That's underneath the crossbar for a corner, right sided corner. Mill trying to play the football. Right sided corner. This will be a case for Hoofball. I think this will be one for Jake Cooper to come in on. He does come in on it. The goalkeeper palms it away. O'Brien does well to draw the free pick and takes it quickly. Wallace now on the right side. It's a deep cross towards Gregory. The ball's bouncing around inside the penalty area, and Bolton will clear. Bolton on the break, 65 minutes. That's an aimless, I don't know, the shot, a pass, or what it was. He's gone through a goal kick in the event. He's given a corner. Must have said it's come off a Mill heel. Right, so it'll be a left sided corner for Bolton. Bolton taking their time over the corner, as you would expect. 65 minutes, we're coming towards the halfway point of the second half. The Lions are looking more dangerous, passing the ball more. But this is a moment to defend. If we go two behind, I rather fear that the day is lost. The 10's going to take down in front of me in block one. Angled back. That's flicked away by Hutchinson. Back into the mix, and that should be taken by it's going to go for a goal kick. Bolton break down the right-hand side on 72. Chance to cut the ball back from the right. He's paused the winger there. It's going to be a shot from the edge of the penalty. That's high over the bar. Point after touchdown style from the 10. Coming to 75 minutes, dear listeners. Well, 15 minutes short of the end of the game. There's a bit of an exodus going for the exit, so it's not that bad, surely. I know it's cold, certainly cold, but the Lions are still in the hunt. Streams of people making for the exit, so maybe they've got a long journey home or airplanes to catch to far-flung exotic destinations, perhaps wherever you're listening, dear listener, out there in, you know, Exotica. Deepest, darkest Orinoco somewhere. Lose this. Another substitution here. Meredith coming out. Yuri Skalak coming in.
There was still a substitution. This is number 3, James Meredith. Number 26, Yuri Skalak.
I think I'm with the no man, but anyway. Ball in from the right side. It's going to go for a corner. Right side of corner from Shane Ferguson. 77 minutes. Morrison speaking to football.london said the next few games, home games, are huge. We haven't brought a huge performance today. Still minutes to go, 77, still 13 to go. In comes the corner. Ball bounces around, it falls to Ryan Leonard. It's bouncing about. Loose, scuffed clear. Skalak's in the mix and concedes a free kick. It's a disagreement of the Den, as you can hear. And there the bowling player goes down, stays down. Of course he does, dear listeners. That's the modern rules of football. Ferguson, amazing little run across the pitch from left to right. He's done well to work a corner. Done really well to work a corner there. Good applause for Shane Ferguson. It was amazing. I think he slightly ran out of ideas as to what to do at the end, but managed to stumble and get the ball onto the Bolton defender just over the line for a right-sided corner. Good work nevertheless. And it comes from the right side. It's near post. It's flicked. It's across the face of the goal. It falls to Jed Wallace. A header not noted for his heading, Jed Wallace. But it runs clear. Marlon feeds Aidan O'Brien now on the right in a winger role rather than a striking role. Ball bouncing around. It's Lee Gregory inside the penalty area, trying to work space for a shot. He falls out right to Marlon. Bit of Lions pressure here. This is Wallace into the mix. It runs across the face of the goal. Two ball! Yeah! Who got that? I can't see. He's got a ball. Who got a goal? Swallow! 82 minutes. Round of players on the screen. Slammed home on a volley from the left-hand side. Let's watch it again. Ball from Jed Wallace. Who's the ball to? Skalek. Wait for Mr. Boy for now. Apologies, listeners. I don't have got the goal. Skalek. One each. 82 minutes. Oh, my giddy heart. That's a weight off my shoulders, dear listeners. Moan, moan, moan. Fucking moan all game. Then you get one goal and suddenly it don't matter anymore. Nicely finished. Ball across the box falls to Skalek, who hits it on the volley down into the ground and into the net. One each. Well, we scored late at Norwich and we conceded late. We scored late today. We don't have a conceding late, dear listeners, do we? 83 minutes, 84 minutes looming. Mill throw in over by the far left side corner, 87 minutes. Give me another chance for a long one. We haven't been terribly effective with our long throws today, in all honesty. It's taken short. I think they must have heard me. It's going to be a chance to chip the ball in there by Shane Ferguson from the left into near post. A flick header, that's wide right. I think that was Lee Gregory, flick header. Close but no cigar, dear listeners. Nice take and turn by Lee Gregory on the halfway line. He feeds O'Brien. Ball played out wide left. This is Skalek from the left side. He's back inside, trying to feed it to O'Brien. 3 minutes of overtime. But Brighton will bring away. Brighton, Bolton will bring away. Mill passing the ball around on the halfway line. That's trying to work some space down the left. This is Jed Wallace now coming down left, down by the left side corner flag. He cuts inside. Pauses because there's a number of white shirts in front of him. They're trying to work space quite nicely. Jed now floats the ball wide right. That's headed back across goal. Disallowed, unfortunately. That was headed back across goal and put in close by Lee Gregory, but disallowed almost as the header came back. Referee now allows a tackle on Ferguson, giving Bolton a chance to break late in the game. That looked like a foul to me. This is the 12 from the left side. He's put it over the bar, thankfully. Referee almost cost us the game there, dear listeners. There's the final whistle. It was 1-1. Both sets of players flat on the ground. Neither team really needed a draw there, really. Both teams were looking for the win. Both thought they should have won it. So, strange end to the game there. 1-1 is the finish. I think probably it's a fair result, in all honesty. We weren't brilliant, and they weren't brilliant. So, 1-1. Nice play at times by the Lions. Man of the match, Lee Gregory for me today. Never stopped running. We'll be right back after these messages, dear listeners.
Lucas Ball Report.
Full time here at Den. It's finished. Millwall 1, Bolton 1. Poor performance from the Lions, in truth, really, and they should have done better. Should have taken 3 points from this one. But no, there was sustained pressure in and around. Around the edge of the box, but no real massive chances squandered by the triple save slash block in the first half with Ormwick and Beavers denying Leonard and O'Brien. But you know, didn't create enough chances, enough clear-cut chances by any stretch, and they'll have to do better in midweek against Birmingham. A Yuri Skalek goal is his first goal for the club, so that's the positive coming out of it. But it needs to be better in the next few games for Millwall. Move on to two big games this week against Birmingham and then Bristol City away. Come on, you Lions. It's a Sunday morning nightmare. A Sunday morning nightmare. A
Sunday morning nightmare. Big welcome to the Sunday morning nightmare. Long time no speak, Harry. I haven't spoken to you for about a few days or so.
Yeah, that's long for us nowadays, yeah.
It's strange having you back on a Sunday morning. I want to try and revive the Sunday morning conversational nightmare. So big thank you to Harry for stepping up to the plate today. I found that a very strange performance yesterday, Harry. It almost summed up the season in many respects. In patches we were awful, in patches we were average, and in patches we were actually quite good. And I think that's like a metaphor for the whole season in many respects.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces.
Yeah, it was,
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It was a game where we probably, well, we definitely didn't deserve to get beat. I want to put that very clear in
Did
my mind.
Did you deserve to win
mind.
It, do you think? I thought we marginally shaded it by the end.
Yeah, by the end, I think the second half we were, I mean, considering, I think if you take into the sort of circumstantial factors that we had no Morrison to bring on.
No.
We had no Bradshaw to bring on. No. Elliot got injured. You start, Fred's out on loan and Thompson's out on loan. You're ticking through the players that would come on.
Yeah.
And they're not there. And this is another thing. I don't think we've had a proper injury crisis for a few seasons now.
No, this is one.
Well, this definitely is one. I mean, I don't know what the terms of Fred Dominic Dimmer's loan deal are, but if he can come back, he has to come back for me.
Well, we're watching the government give Gibraltar away at the moment, so I'm hoping that Millwall managed to build in a recall clause for Fred, but you can't always trust these things, can you?
No, you can't. You can't. We're going to give Gibraltar. We've decided to... Can we give Ryan Tunnicliffe a deal
to Spain? They can
with
have
Gibraltar.
We'll keep Gibraltar, and they can have Tunnicliffe. No, it is an injury crisis, and it's a very real one. I mean, Tom Elliott, bless his heart, I didn't think was on his game. I mean, he had a couple of moments of strength on the ball yesterday, and then he got injured, didn't he? About 30-odd minutes, 37 minutes, I think it was. And then in came Aidan O'Brien, and I actually thought we improved, Harry, when Aidan came in. I thought we started to keep the ball on the floor and pass it, but we actually improved as the game went along with that new style of play.
Yeah, the passing style of play, which it made Aidan and Gregory come deep a lot of the time to pick the ball up. But that's what they like doing. They like going at people, and I don't think people realise that.
No.
And kind of our support's got to get that into their heads. I think you're right, we improved. I don't think that style suits Sean Williams.
No, he had one of his poorest games for a long time, I thought, yesterday, Williams.
I think he's been off the pace for a while. I think if Thompson was there, he'd be playing. Especially in a performance like that yesterday. So I think Leonard is the ball carrying, you know, you need a ball carrier and you need the terrier. And Williams isn't really a terrier anymore. I mean, he's never been blessed with great pace, but I think sometimes now he sort of, Saville was hiding a lot of his defects last season. And Leonard yesterday looked really good for me in fits and starts. When he's got a little bit of the Jed Wallace about him. He does something unusual. He'll play a nice little flip pass around the corner. He'll do something like that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I can see we'll go to a 4-4-2. I don't think we'll change. But a 4-4-2 with Leonard off the front two, or Fred, or Jed, or someone like that off the front two, the way they play would really, really work. I mean, if Fred comes back in the way that we're going to have to play, because we won't be able to lump it long,
It could be
the start of the making of someone to give Neil Harris a really difficult conversation, just like Jordan Archer's given him a horrible decision to make for Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Archer played very well. I mean, just take the game through
the sequences. There was I called it a world class save. There was an initial save as Bolton broke forwards, which was a good save. And then it fell to, I think it was the 10 from distance, who shot, and it kind of trickled through to a striker close in, and it was an instinctive save from the very top draw. I mean, that really was Jordan Archer at his very best, I thought.
Yeah, it was a bit of, I think we mentioned on the Norwich game, I said that, you know, Archer would pull off the save that he shouldn't make.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first one really, you know, when he broke forward, I thought goal.
Yeah, I did in real time. I did,
and the save itself was, you know, it wasn't meat and drink. It wasn't an easy save, but it wasn't. Oh my God, what a save! But in that passage of play afterwards, the Millwall back four didn't reform. The shot was from their 10. I think it's Ami Obi, Obi's brother. And he sort of pulled it, and it ended up being the world's greatest pass. You know, it split the back four, and their bloke seemed to try and flick it with the outside of his foot. It was going in, it was going bottom corner, and Jordan's reacted fantastic, not just to get there, but to push it. It was a strong hand, you know. Last season, me especially, I used to say he had chocolate wrists.
Yeah.
And he seemed like he'd matured yesterday. He commanded his box. He went and caught a ball. It's as if he's realised he's in trouble. Because I think his last performance was at Scotland, and he's lost his Scotland place. He's not being called up. And regardless of how poor their football is, they managed to somehow shit-ass their way to a playoff spot for Euro 2019 or 2020 or whatever it is. So I think he's realised it's kind of a crossroads in his career. He can go back to sitting on the bench, or he's got to beat this Ben Imos character. And, you know, for me, yesterday, that was Jordan Archer of the year that we went up. You know, that was the Jordan Archer of old,
I thought.
Yeah. And long may it continue. I mean, on his day, that's the problem for Jordan, is we now expect him to play like that all the time. You know, look at De Gea at Man United. Look at, there's goalkeepers around the world that you look and you go, well, they're going to, you know, you've really got to turn it on to beat him today, you know, and that they're sort of 5 out of 7 sort of performances from their goalkeepers. They do it in 5 games out of 7. Whereas Jordan used to do it sort of 5 out of 7, and then last season might do it 1 out of 7. So
yeah,
I think Amos coming in has just pushed him. And obviously, I suppose you can't really drop a goalkeeper when they've not really done a lot wrong. But unfortunately for Ben Amos, I think the Den will be crying for blue murder if Neil Harris drops Jordan Archer for Wednesday night's game.
You'd pick him again Wednesday night, Aaron?
Oh, absolutely. Archer? I mean, I mean the sensible conversation to go to Ben Amos is, you know, you've done really well for us. You've done absolutely nothing wrong, but the bloke was man of the match on things. He's in the form of his life.
Mm.
He stays in, you know. And if you can't understand why that would happen, then you've got to question Ben Amos's mental ability, you know, that all you've got to do is go back and do what you've been doing. You know, you'll get your chance again. It's quite they're much of a same, apart from Ben Amos seems to be, for me, a Willie Gray, but I don't think he's going to be happy to be a Willie Gray, you know what I mean? The sort of comical goalkeeper that's brilliant to come on and makes fantastic saves.
Mm.
Whereas Jordan Archer's got, you know, a bit of the Denzel about him, you know. He's been very quiet. He's never really commanded his box. You know, but yesterday, for me, he'd become a man rather than being a boy.
I think he's been to the edge of the cliff, Harry, and he's had a look over the edge of the cliff, seen it's a long way down, and you know, I think you said it's a crossroads. It is. He's at a crossroads. He's potentially a very good goalkeeper, one that can probably play at a higher level still than where we're at. But it's almost like a choice he's got to make. What he did yesterday is got to be his bar. That's where you've got to produce to every game, because it can only go higher from here.
He plays like that every week. He'll keep us up. I'm being totally honest now. I mean, I'm not going to beat around the bush. We're in a relegation fight, definitely, after watching yesterday.
One of the tweets, I've got it to hand, but it was words to the effect of, if we can't beat Bolton at home, given their situation, then we're in the shit, basically. And I think that probably sums it up, because, you know, we probably deserved to shade it in the end yesterday, but the goal that we gave away was out of the sloppiest of slop, wasn't it? I mean,
big TE.
Yeah, you know, I think giving away silly goals. I mean, we're still not entirely unscarred from the Norwich experience, you and me, are we? And you know, to watch goals of such a soft quality being given away is relegation form. There's no dodging that, I don't think.
Yeah, I think with three players, like, you know, sitting there watching it yesterday, I don't understand what Marlon Romeo has to do, because I accept we can't defend. I've come to the conclusion that we can't defend. Everything comes from our left and right hand sides. Meredith, you know, is over 30. He's a good player, but he's not, you know, he's been found out a little bit. I don't think he's really getting the support that he needs. And again, he improved the second half of last season with a certain Ben Marshall playing in front of him, who seemed to do quite a bit of tracking back, where Fergie doesn't really put his body on the line. He's a good deliverer of the ball, but sometimes can go a little bit missing. Conor McLaughlin looks like the biggest wage thief ever. I don't think he wants to be at Millwall anymore. Generally, I don't know what's gone on there. The body language yesterday was all wrong for me.
I was interested by Ryan Leonard's interview. I don't know if you saw that, Harry, about harsh words on the Calmont Road training field. I'm wondering whether some of the harsh words might have gone Conor McLaughlin's way, because I make you right, he looked a little bit... he was missing yesterday for large chunks. And Romeo coming into the game, lo and behold, gives us pace going forwards. And that's Marlon's great strength, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't defend, at least you know, Man United used to do it. They used to have sort of one out the back four would go forward, you know. And realistically, Marlon and Jed down the side would frighten any sort of...
Marlon's a forward-thinking player. He gives nuance as we're going forward. There's little one-twos and little unusual flicks inside with Marlon that you weren't going to get with Conor. Bless his little cotton socks, but he's not going to produce that. And
bless his cotton socks. He's a fucking wage thief.
he's got a lot of cotton socks.
But the thing that annoyed me with him yesterday was, you know, at 0-0, we were under the cosh. Archer's made the save, and Jed, you know, Bolton at that point seemed to have come to us on the counter attack.
Yeah, they came to attack us. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, there was a ball, and it was between Hutchinson and McLaughlin. McLaughlin sort of trots back, gets it, and they're all reformed there, and then slaps it inside. You're the right back. You're the one who's just supposed to bring the ball forward, not the centre halves. I don't understand. And when you lose the big man, it's like they fucking don't know how to play football. It's like, just pass and move. That is football. And he weren't moving at all. Weren't shame for anyone. And he was rightly taken out. I just think, you know, I think he's definitely, you know, the right back situation is worrying. We've now not got a striker. We need to sign one of those. We haven't really got a centre midfielder that can tackle, I suppose. We need to sign one of them unless we get Thompson back.
We could do a lot worse than bring our own back, couldn't we? I mean, Ben seems to be playing well for Portsmouth, and you know, if presumably he wants to come back, well, he'll be under contract, so he'd have to come back. But you know, that I think we could do a lot worse than bringing back the Freds and the Ben Thompsons in the circumstances.
I think it's necessity now. I mean, muscular injuries. Let's be honest, you don't want to rush Tom Elliott back. You don't want to rush Steve Morrison back.
No, you can't.
They're not right.
Morrison's age will play an increasing part in his game from here onwards.
You don't want 6 weeks. You're going to miss him for six. Say they have pulled hamstrings. That's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
6 weeks. Millwall could be in the bottom, you know, and 8-10 points adrift.
We could deal with the Ipswiches.
You're not going to get there. We'll be in January. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think there's a big bit of work to do. We mentioned some names on the radio show on Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, it's wages, but again, is Gregory going? This now puts Gregory's contract/move in January, rumoured to be, in fucking jeopardy. Because Millwall, there's no way. I don't care if he goes for nothing. You can't lose Gregory now in January because, you know, I don't know what's worth more money, losing him for nothing or 500 grand. I'm sure getting relegated costs you more than 500 grand.
It costs you a lot more than 500, especially with this TV deal flying around now that we've read about in the week. Sean Hutchinson hasn't recovered really, has he? I mean, he's still not looking... the player that we knew and loved last season, and you know, soft goals keep being conceded, and unfortunately he's now part of that soft defence. And I wonder what's, you know, whether he's still in recovery mode from the injury.
I don't think it's the two centre halves problem. I really don't. They don't get cut open. Nothing comes from inside. How many times have you seen someone walk through the middle of the Millwall defence and it a goal? They don't.
No, they go around the side, don't they?
Everyone goes, we're going to hit a diag. It'll get in from behind them. It splits them. It's so easy to play against Millwall. They sit so rigid. They've worked out that the two weak links are on the left and right hand side. They hit you. Jed sort of sometimes comes back, sometimes doesn't. Ferguson doesn't bother. You know, he isn't very good defensively. Aiden's even worse, and we haven't got anyone else to play on the left hand side. So that's that sorted. On the right, Jed becomes the worst player if he sits back, and McLaughlin weren't bothered yesterday. Romeo, again, goes forward, but then we have no one at the back, and then you might as well play three at the back. I don't know. Generally, you can't. Then we're still scoring the same amount of goals that we scored last season. We just are not, you know, we'd win 1-0 yesterday. You know, that 82nd minute goal is the kind of thing that happened in the run. You know, if we hadn't conceded in the first minute, or first couple of minutes, or whatever, as it seemed, we are. I don't think it's got to turn eventually, but you do make your own luck, and you can't keep conceding soft goals, as you said. But there has got to be something out there that we're going to either have to change formation to suit the injuries, or we're going to have to change style. And I don't know whether or not everyone's ready to realise that we are going to have to change. I still think we could go. I know we've tried it fucking millions of times at Millwall, but five at the back, with Marlon Romeo as the right wing back and Jeb Wallace in a three in midfield with the space to do what he needs to do, for me seems to be the logical option, because we can't lump it at a big man, because we haven't fucking
run out of big men to lump it, unless we're going to send Jake Cooper forward, Juicy Jake, because he's
Juicy Jake. I'm sure we're all waiting for Juicy Jake to turn up on the old alternate commentary. Yes, I reckon it's Yuri.
Man of the Midnight. I saw that one online as well.
Yeah. But they fucking. I don't know. I just think. I mean, Skalak yesterday. I mean, we're playing him on the wrong side, but he's got a little bit of the. I mean, his final delivery is not great, to be honest, but he has ideas. Do you know what I mean? He has creativity, and that seems to wrangle people who sit around me, as if to go, well, he needs, you know,
up and under, Harry, don't they? I mean, I think we looked at our best. I mean, there was a chance at the end of the first half, ping pong, where we went close. I think it was actually headed away from underneath the bar by Beavers at the end of the first half.
Of course, it was headed away by fucking Mark Beavers.
And, I mean, obviously the goal, also, I mean, but we looked at our most dangerous when we kind of got them all fire in the belly. I'm thinking of Ben Thompson now, and as I'm saying these words, where there was the Ben Thompson sense that the ball was being back and forth across their penalty area. Something's going to happen. Some you know, space is going to be found by someone, and that's how the goal came about in the end via Skalak claimed it initially, and then it turned out to be Juicy Jake who got the credit.
How much money's he worth now, Juicy Jake? Top goal scoring defender.
We can't sell him. We'd have a lot of money in the bank. We'd be in League One, wouldn't we? I just think what was missing in large slices in that first half was the Millwall fire in the belly. And I think Neil Harris actually, in his post-match comments, says that we didn't look like Millwall. We didn't look Millwall-like at the Den. Up and at them 100%. We were 5% off. It's becoming a regular theme, though, Harry, isn't it? This lack of fire, lack of spirit.
We look like a punch-drunk boxer. Yeah. You know, we look like we're stumbling out at the start of games now, or in the last 10 minutes, sort of, you know... is it right to throw in the towel? Is it right to stop the fight kind of thing? It's demoralising, but it's, you know, we knew we couldn't continue like last season. There was no way. I think, realistically, we're now in November, coming up for December. I think reality has set in that we are where we are.
Yeah.
We were in this position last season, but we got a run and we got belief and we started. And a lot of teams seem to be in the mid-table. Fuck off on holiday about February.
Yeah.
Because there were some weird results in the Championship. This season, the league, without a question of that, is stronger.
We're in the trenches now.
I mean, the money sloshing around
absolutely.
Is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
But we now are in a position where the recruitment team have got probably, and we say this every window, but this particular window, with everyone knowing that you've got £8 million for Savile. All right, say let's say for argument's sake, £3 million of it's gone. And the initial transfer budget was £1 million. Skalak was probably another 700 grand, maybe £1 million. So let's say we've lost £4 million out of our initial budget with the Savile money of £9 million. So basically Millwall have got, what, £5 million to go and spend, or they can spend it on wages now, you know, depending who else leaves or whatever. That's the big thing. But you are, it's massive that they get this right. There is needs this, it needs freshening up. It definitely needs freshening up the squad. The players we've brought in the summer, we haven't seen Tom Bradshaw enough to make past judgment in the fits and starts. I saw a player there. Unfortunately, we won't see him again until the
next
season.
Until next year,
but depending what league that's in.
Yeah.
And from that, Leonard, for me, walks into the side every week, so I think he's getting better and better. And then Murray Wallace, the jury's still kind of out. And Yuri Skalak again, another one that, you know, the jury's out on. You know, you see him in fits and starts, you need to see him in a run of games, perhaps, but we don't have that luxury. I think a left back, a right back, a centre midfielder, and a striker. So I'm not asking them to do much.
Just
that's a £1 million a lump.
We just missed Black Friday on this as well. We've got some good deals on Black Friday if we've gone shopping there.
I think we don't like to see it, but I think the loan market, we need. I know I said his name the other night, and there's no way we could afford his wages, but you know, you're looking for a Jermaine Defoe. You're looking for a Premier League journeyman.
Yeah,
with the right attitude, i.e. that we all know he's coming here to try and get a move to a Premier League promoted side, like either whoever goes up out of Norwich, Leeds, whoever, Sheffield United, Wednesday, fucking whoever.
Yeah,
you know, you're trying to get someone that's going to score 10 goals between now and the end of the season.
Pull it together a little bit as well. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if one of them exists. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, I'm looking for someone with... You know, Morrison's got a little bit, well, last season's Morrison, they'd have that little bit of invention that their body's still just about got it to give you a nice little flick into the box with someone that gives them an easy chance to score, you know.
Yeah.
We need something like that.
We need a Neil Harris out there.
We need a Neil Harris and we need a Dennis Wise in the middle. But really, let's be honest, that's what we need. Or a Jimmy Abdou. I mean, Jimmy Abdou, fuck me, would be walking into this side, his legs still work. Do you know what I mean? It's
strange stories.
We need something like that.
Strange story with a referee yesterday. I missed it pre-game. Apparently the original referee had fallen ill prior to the kick-off, which I missed in real time. I don't know if anyone else picked up on that. And then, of course, the replacement referee pulled up about half an hour into the game, didn't he? And in came the fourth official with, unbelievably, a Millwall fan. I don't know if he was there as a reserve ref or if he was just sat in the crowd or happened to have his boots on him. I don't know what the story is there, but a Millwall fan finished up as linesman.
I've read a little bit this morning. He's a Bostock Saturday League. I don't know how low down that is. That seems to be about where Alfie Pavey's turned up at.
Tier 8 or 7, something like that, I think.
Something 7, 6, maybe Salford City, that type of type of carry on. And apparently, reading what Phil Parkinson, the Bolton manager, said, that when Archer made the double save, he jumped up and applauded, even though he's the fourth official. Which, you know, I suppose. And then he was in front of me, and he didn't really have a lot to do. Bolton didn't really come forward, but you know what I mean? And then he gave the referee looked at him when it was a 50-50 for probably a Bolton corner. It probably was a Bolton corner. And the referee, he didn't give nothing. And the referee went, oh, it must be a goal kick then. And the bloke didn't win the ball, so it must be a free kick to Ferguson. So I sort of smiled at that one. So when our sort of conversation off air was, oh, surely you could do a bit of the refereeing. I said, well, I'd probably get the match abandoned because I'm fucking cold and I want to go home.
Send them
probably
all
send off. Send off a load of players just for fucking looking at me.
And but, he had no hand in the disallowed goal. There was a late disallowed goal.
No, that was the
referee's decision, so he couldn't have...
Yeah, he was the tubby one, shall we say. The tubby linesman was the Millwall fan. That's the difference. There you go, people.
On Twitter, Roda71 says, only Millwall can fail to win a game. We've got a ringer for a linesman and then a fourth official. So I think it's a bit harsh on our ringer of a linesman.
Our ringer of a linesman had nothing to... We kept a clean sheet with our ringer of a linesman, which at this stage, with how bad our defence is, that's a statement in itself. I don't know. It's just a weird story. Only at Millwall, isn't it? Only at Millwall could we have a Tannoy sort of shades of Jimmy Hill coming out of the crowd, wasn't it? It's like fucking... Only Millwall could have a linesman turn up that's Millwall and not win. It is true. But, he had nothing to do with the disallowed goal, but... I don't know. It's so disheartening. It's going there. It's dark. It's Christmas. We're fucking awful. But I don't understand this cry for Harris out. What can a bloke do? He didn't think that we were going to lose.
Who are we going to bring in? I get the frustration. I mean, I'm just looking at a tweet here. Jack TK says, just to confirm that one.
Can I ask, does he look like he's under the age of 25?
It's hard to tell. I think he's probably around about that 25 level. But he says a one-all draw against Bolton at home isn't good enough, says Jack. And it's stating the obvious, of course, but true nevertheless. London Calling says, what can I say? A shit first half, but when we started playing the passing game in the second half, he thought we looked a bit better. And we did look a bit better with the passing style, I thought, in the second half, which is possibly a marker for the future. We at least looked like we had some intent, Harry, didn't we?
The Barcelona Bermondsey. he's fucking... I couldn't imagine us doing that. But no, we looked all right. As I said, you know, O'Brien's a good technical player. I don't understand this guy. He gets a lot of shit. And I sort of hated him when he first busted on the scene. But now I understand that he's not going to win an header. But yeah, he's a bit of a... He's not a luxury because he's only a luxury outside the box, if that makes sense. When he's in the box, he's fucking like... He's useful. I'm in the box, you know... He'll fly into people in the box. I think the Ireland experience, I think, has really helped him, to be honest. He looks, the more I see him this season, the more since the Ireland goal.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that. It's just the way he carries himself. You're not like little boy lost anymore. He's got a bit more about him. He seems a bit more at home. I don't know. I think Scalak got in the Czech Republic fucking side the other way. You know what I mean? We're not bad when we try and play football. I think maybe... If we could just learn how to defend, we'd probably be a mid-table side. Quite
a big step forwards. TT makes the point that with the referee getting injured and all the jiggery poker of time wasting, Norwich got more extra time added on than we did yesterday. But true, I suppose.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Jewel Narsha says Stephen Savage kept us in the game. And last one, I thought we'd close on this one, Harry. This is Millwall. Glenn says, I know it's not the best of seasons and shit has been pretty depressing, but this is a team I want to get behind, even if it's a season that sees us drop down. Maybe it's being an old git, but I'm tired of swapping managers, hoping for miracles. And that goes back to the Neil Harris point we were just talking about. I don't know who else we're going to bring in.
He's just signed a new contract. We must still be paying all the way off. This is a serious conversation. What do you want the bloke to do?
With the resources we have available, I
don't understand. If you don't like it, I'm saying this now, fuck off and don't come, because you're fucking spoiled. The bloke's given you 3 years of outstanding growth as a club. You want to fuck him off at the first bad sort of 3-4 months that they've had. And it ain't necessarily a fact that, you know, as I keep saying, wait until January. They didn't have a proper window. The window was ruined on the last day by Middlesbrough trying to get the two best players in our club. If you lose Man United lose De Gea and fucking Lukaku tomorrow. Look at them, they're 10th. It's Man United. Man United can go and outspend any club in the UK, pretty much, and fucking do what they like, and they're still 10th. You know what I mean? There's not... Just because you spend money, it doesn't give you a God-given right to fucking go and win games. You know, the squad's regressed. Players who are over 30 that we've picked up are not as good as they were last season. That is simply... A fact, they're out of form.
Old father time, mate.
Well, collectively, they seem to all be out of form, and it is what it is, you know? I don't understand this clamouring to get rid of him. Who are you going to go and get? Because there's no fucking decent manager out there. Mick McCarthy, if you were going to get Big Mick, Mick's gone to the island.
We don't want him back.
Well, I know, but you're looking at someone who knows the division working on a budget. Ipswich were fine before they fucking got rid of Mick McCarthy.
Now they're adrift. I mean?
So, you know, you need someone who knows the division. You can't, we couldn't do the same decision that we did with Lomas. You can't fucking get someone from Scotland. So you are stuck with, you know, you've got to wait till Warnock's sacked. You can't bring in your Jukanovic because presumably he'd want to change us into some Waitrose buying.
He'd want money as well, wouldn't he? You know,
exactly. So I don't understand. We are a working class club. If you don't like it, fuck off and support Charlton, because I'm fucking fed up of hearing people talking about, Harris is this, Harris is that. That bloke will work harder than fucking most people we work in our fucking modern day jobs. There's no way that he is happy with how it is. You know, you can tell whether that's right or wrong or otherwise, but give him till January. We didn't play well till January last season. We nearly
We
don't need to, you know, we're giving everyone an head start. We're going to go on a fucking 18 game unbeaten run this season and end up at Wembley and win 1-0 off fucking Elliott's backside. You know, it's going to happen. Here it is first.
Great to have you back on the show, Harry. Do miss your old rants, Sunday morning rants. It's good to have you back, mate. When are you next to, you, on the radio? 2 weeks' time, isn't it? I suppose you're working next week, the week after?
Yeah, I'll be working next week. I missed the Birmingham game, so I'll be watching it via the miracle of I follow. At work. So if some certain people get some dodgy engines, you know why.
Play Mary. On iFollow.
Yeah, I'll be watching it on iFollow, and then I'll miss the radio Friday because I'll be working as well. But
good stuff.
Yeah, I'll be back on the radio the Friday after.
Many thanks, Harry Warren. Good to have you back, mate. Cheers.
No worries, mate. Bye bye.
You've been listening to Octoon Millwall, the CBL Magazine podcast. That's the Millwall news this week, and we are out of here.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.